Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Medical Payment Committee meeting. And Dr. Yarborough, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you. So to remind everybody that if you, during the meeting, you have questions that you can raise your hand. You could raise them on camera. You can raise them on Teams. You can enter things in the chat, or you can also contact anybody from Susie Douglas, or you can call in to the workers' comp area to raise your question. Okay, so let's start out with some introductions, and then we'll make the quorum. See, so let's start with the board members first. So my name is Mary Yarborough. I work at Vanderbilt and represent the Tennessee Medical Association.
I'll go next. It's Leanne Lewis. I'm here for Manageware Solutions representing insurers.
Oh, hey, I'll go ahead. I'm a visitor. Lee Hunter. I'm an orthopedic surgeon with TOA. I'm in part of the Columbia division, and I'm just here observing.
Okay. Can we first thank you? Can we get the other board members real quick just to make sure we have the quorum?
Also? Absolutely. Yeah. I can go next.
Yarborough, would you like me to call the roll?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. We've got Dr. Mary Yarborough is here. Ms. Leanne Lewis. Mr. Will Cromer.
Present.
All right, Ms. Jennifer Guffey.
Present.
Dr. Roy Johnson.
Present.
Mr. Josh Heffinger. Dr. Robert Snyder.
Here.
All right, we do have 6 out of the 7 members, and that is sufficient to establish a quorum. So you may proceed.
Thank you. Okay. So now let's go through just if we could, how would we like to do the visitors? What's the best way, Bob, to just to introduce our visitors?
Just the ones that aren't recognized. I'll go through the list that are not recognized from before. The okay. First one's on the telephone, area code 417.
Yeah, that's Nancy Grace in case 4142 and 43.
Okay.
From Ozark Anesthesia. And,
okay. Cassandra Spicer.
Hello. I am with Parallon on behalf of HCA and observing for a potential case.
Okay. Thank you. Liz Adams.
Hello, I'm Liz Adams. I'm Director of Compliance with Rising Medical Solutions.
Thank you. And Fran Sweat.
Vanderbilt Medical Center.
Okay, Manager. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The rest of the individuals we recognize and have been in the meeting before. So thank you.
Okay.
Back to Dr. Yarborough.
All right. So refer you to the people list on Teams if you want to review the other folks present. And thank you all for being here and for your interest. So we need approval of the minutes from the August 26th meeting. Do we have a motion to approve from one of the committee members?
It's Leanne. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, thank you, Leanne. Do we have a second?
I second the motion.
Thank you. I think that was Roy, I believe. Heard that?
That's Roy correct.
Jones. Okay. Okay. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any additions or anything? Okay. Thanks. Any additions or anything we need to make to that? Okay. So medical fee schedule update. I'll turn it over to Bob to kind of get us through those.
We'll go to the cases first. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Cases for October. The first one is case 2025-22. This is a case where Dr. Hazelwood versus LDG, where a Z code was not recognized or paid. Billed amount was $270. The paid amount was $140. Expected was $180. The Z code is payable to this individual who's on the certified physician program. And the recommendation is additional due provider of $40 less any contractual discounts.
All right. So we have the recommendation. Do I have a motion to accept the recommendation?
This is Jennifer. A motion to accept.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Leanne, I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Motion carries. Okay. Case number, was it 28? Is that the next one, Bob?
Okay. So we're going to take cases 28 through 38 in kind of together, and I'll explain the situation. So this was an individual with an original lung injury in 2017, and she was given a permanent impairment rating in 2020 and open medicals. Her death occurred early in 2024 with multiple different providers during short stays and ambulance procedures in 2023 and 24. The insurer would not pay without getting the proper UB04 or CMS 1500, and the attorney for the insurance company submitted the cases to the medical payment committee because they were unable to get responses from the provider. This case also happens to be in mediation. So a resolution for not only the estate but also the mediation for settlement of benefits requires a resolution of these claims to be paid. So I have reviewed this with our legal staff, and we felt that we were unlikely to get any more response from the billing individuals. Excuse me. Billing individuals than the insurance company was. And so after discussing with the medical staff or with the legal staff, we went ahead and priced out these priced out these 11 cases. And so we felt it appropriate for the committee then to review the recommendations. Excuse me. A dry throat. Now give me a little second to get some water.
Okay.
And Mary, hey, David Ward here on the line. I'm standing in for attorney Alan Grant. And Mr. Grant was actually just retained on this claim, replacing attorney Stephen Morton. So I'm listening in and making sure that our client's trying to get some clarification. It sounds like Dr. Snyder's on his way with that.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you for joining us. So the first case was a case 28, which is a CT of an abdomen. Mm-hmm. The bill charge was $204.40. The medical fee schedule amount was $217.22. So it's recommended that the CT scan be paid at the medical fee schedule rate and that TRIDENT be paid $217.22 less any contractual discounts.
Okay. So, then the motion we would be making was to accept this recommendation to pay TRIDENT the $217.22 less any contractual discounts.
That is correct.
Okay. So do we have a motion to accept?
It's Leanne. I'll motion we accept the recommendation.
Okay. Do we have a second?
This is Jennifer. I'll accept. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do we need any discussion? Does anybody have any other questions about this?
I guess the question would be, is the recommendation to pay the fee schedule the same on case 28 through 38?
No, because each one's a little bit different.
Okay. All right. I'll keep track.
So there'll be recommendation, but some of them comes directly from the bill.
Okay.
So this is just for 28 to pay Trident to 1722. Okay. All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay.
Any opposed? All right. So that a recommendation is to pay them the 21722 less contractual discounts. Okay. It's 28. Next 29, Bob.
Right? Case 29 is Signature Health. It's a 2-day skilled nursing facility stay. They billed $609.95. The medical fee schedule is actually $582 because this was a 2-day stay, but only paid for the room rate. The pharmacy is included in the room rate. So it's recommended that Signature Health be paid $582 less any contractual discounts.
Okay. Do I have a motion to accept the recommendation?
This is Jennifer. I'm motion to accept.
Okay. You have a second?
Roy.
Okay. Any discussion on this? Okay.
Nope.
All in favor? Say aye.
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 And any opposed? Okay, motion carries. And I would say if there is any questions that people have, if you raise your hands, if anybody from the division can help me watch. I can't see all the people and the hands and everything. So, okay. Case 30.
This is Good Samaritan Hospital versus the insurance company. Billed amount was $25,503.72. The Good Samaritan is only requesting payment for the amount after all others had been paid. The amount due was $2,400. It is recommended that Good Samaritan be paid the $2,400 less any contractual discounts.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the payment of $2,400 less contractual discounts?
I move. I move.
A second?
Leanne will second that.
I'll second.
Okay. Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Okay. That motion carries. Case 31A.
Okay, case 31 was actually submitted as one bill from First Call, but it's separated because there's two actual dates of service. And so I separated them into the first one is 31A, which is an ambulance transfer. First Call ambulance service, date of service was 3/7/24. The billed amount was $6,316.96. The paid amount was $1,025.07. The medical, they've already paid the insurance company has already paid $1,025.07. The medical fee schedule total was $1,019.06. So, the First Call insurance company cannot bill the remaining balance to the patient. So there's a recommendation of no additional due and notification that First Call cannot bill the patient for any remaining balance.
And that notification to who?
The First Call ambulance service.
Okay. So I don't see that as part of the recommendation. So is that something that needs to be added to the recommendation, that there be a notification to First Call?
Well, we don't know whether they're still billing the patient or not.
Oh, okay. All right.
We will put
so
that.
So it has to be noted.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the recommendation as it stands is no additional payments due at this time. So do I have a motion to accept?
It's Leanne. I'll motion we accept that recommendation.
Okay. Second?
This is Jennifer. I second.
Okay. All in favor? I'm sorry. Is there any discussion? Excuse me. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. 31B, the second part of 31. Okay.
First call, ambulance. This transfer date of service was 2-6-2024. Billed amount was $6,690. The medical fee schedule was actually $1,101.62. This statement did not show any payment. So the recommendation is to pay $1,101.66 less any contractual discounts or previous amounts paid.
Okay. So an addendum to that is or previous amounts paid?
Yes.
Okay. So do we have a motion to accept the recommendation to pay $1,101.66 less any contractual discounts or previous amounts paid?
I'll move to accept.
Okay, second.
It's Leanne, I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, do we have a motion to, then all in favor? Sorry.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. Case 32.
Cumberland County EMS, this date of service was 2/28/24. Billed amount was $1,918.20. Nothing was paid. In this particular claim, no mileage was noted. That is, they did not list the mileage, but they just charged the mileage of $1,303, which would have been 96 miles. But the Cumberland EMS is only requesting the $754 for the first code. So it is recommended that they pay the $754.01 less any contractual discount.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the recommendation? $754.01 less contractuals discount.
This is Jennifer. I motion to accept.
A second.
This is Roy.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Okay. Any opposed? Okay. The motion carries. Case 33.
So this is ECC, Emergency Coverage LLC, which has filed a claim in probate court against the estate. The billed amount was $1,719. The actual invoices for physician services, presumably from the emergency room. Our legal staff looked at this one, and it's up to the insurance company then to either pay the billed amount or await probate court decision. So
do we need to do anything with this?
Recommend that the insurer either pay or await the probate decision.
All right. So we have a motion for then to either pay or await the probate court decision.
It's Leanne. I'll make a motion to accept the recommendation.
Okay. Do we have a second?
This is Jennifer. I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay. Case 34.
Case 34 was Putnam County EMS. This date of service was August the 8th of 2023. Again, ambulance transport. They billed $1,669.85. Actual medical fee schedule amount was $809.42. Putnam County is only requesting $200 after previous allowances, so it's recommended that the insurer pay the $200 less any contractual discounts.
Okay, your recommendation, a motion to accept the recommendation.
Is Roy?
Okay, do we have a second?
It's Leanne, I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion carries. Number 35.
Is Select Specialty Hospital. The dates of service were from 9/12/2023 through 12/1/2023, so almost 2 months worth or 2.5 months worth of hospitalization. Select Specialty has filed in probate court against the estate. The billed amount was $1,459,375.69. The payments after adjustments were $1,457,500.69. The remaining balance was $1,875. Legal team also looked at this one. For us to review a 2.5 month bill would be prohibitively expensive. And so the recommendation was to suggest the insurer make an offer or wait for the probate, probate court decision.
Okay. All right. Do we have a motion to accept the recommendation to suggest the insurer make an offer or wait for the probate court decision?
It's Leanne. I'll make a motion to accept the recommendation.
Okay. Do we have a second?
This is Jennifer. I second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Number 36.
Is Ascension St. Thomas. Date of service was 10/30/2023. Billed amount was $15. The total billed amount was $731.10. It looked like the $15 was actually a copay. The recommendation was no payment due and a notification to Ascension St. Thomas that they cannot bill the patient or the estate.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the recommendation that no payment due and you cannot bill the patient? Or the estate? Should that say the estate bill, the patient, since the patient's passed?
I guess it's irrelevant, I guess.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Bill the patient.
Okay. No payment due and cannot bill the patient. That's the motion. We have a motion to accept.
This is Roy.
This is Roy.
Okay. So I think Roy, first, and who was the second? I'm sorry.
This is Jennifer. Yeah, I second. Okay.
Great. Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Number 37.
This was ambulance transfer. Date of service was 12/1/2023. Billed $4,438. There's no evidence that anything's been paid. There was no information on this one about the coding or the mileage, but the ambulance company applied AARP discounts to this one, and the final charge was $200. So it's recommended that they pay the $200 less any contractual discounts.
Okay, do I have a motion to accept the recommendation to pay $200 less contractual discounts?
It's Leanne. I'll make a motion. We accept the recommendation.
We have a second.
This is Jennifer. I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Okay. Bob, is that the end of these then? You said 38, but actually yes. 31 was separated to A and B, so 37 is the last one. Okay. All right.
Right.
Okay. So now we're moving to case 40. Is that right?
Yeah, well, we'll stop and just, Mr. Ward, if you would send, I think that you already have contact information for Suzanne or for me. If you would forward that to us, we'll make sure that you get these letters as soon as they're prepared.
Okay, absolutely will.
Yeah, and I hope that, this will make it easy for the insurance company to settle this claim in an expedited and reasonable manner.
Okay. So case 40 is the next, HTI versus Liberty Mutual Galaxy.
Okay. This was a payment for a right elbow, below elbow prosthesis, bill $19,638.02, paid $16,692.34. They expected the full bill. Christina has reviewed this case.
Hi, Dr. Snyder.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining.
Yes. Oh, anytime. Yeah, so the provider's requesting payment in full for this DME. And per the Tennessee guidelines, any DME or implantables, they are to be reimbursed at the lesser of the provider's bill charges or the amount that's listed in the rate tables. So when I looked at the rate tables for everything that they had requested, the provider actually underbilled. So my recommendation is that the provider be paid in full, the $19,638.02. They were paid $16,692.34, so they are due $2,945.68.
All right. Do we have a motion to accept the additional due the provider, $2,945.68?
It's Leanne. I'll make a motion to accept the recommendation.
Do we have a second?
This is Jennifer. I second.
Okay. Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, 40 carries. Recommendation for case 40. Okay, case 41.
Is Ozark Anesthesia versus Van Leer Paradigm, billed $1,995. $1,066.28 was paid. The expected amount was $1,425. The medical fee schedule amount was $1,425. This was a date of service on this individual of 5/2/2024, and the other cases are different dates of service, so we will go through those one at a time. So for this case, it is recommended after analysis that the additional due the provider of $358.72 less any contractual discounts.
Okay. So the motion for case 41 is to the payments due $358.78 less any contractuals. Do we have a motion to accept?
It's Leanne. I actually have a question about the formula on here. The physical status modifier addition. The language I'm seeing in here is that basically whatever Medicare does, is that, am I interpreting that right?
Oh, it's according to the rate tables.
Oh, okay. So not Medicare. That's in the rate tables. All right.
Right.
Because Medicare doesn't add anything for it anymore. So I was misreading something. Okay. No more questions. Thank you.
Note is this case was brought up at the last meeting, and the contact information between Ozark Anesthesia and the attorney was given. The attorney had not responded to Ozark Anesthesia as of the 6th of October, so last week. So it was a recommendation of the committee that we proceed with pricing these out, and then further contact can be made between Ozark Anesthesia and the attorney.
And thank you, Dr. Snyder. David Ward on the line. I was on the line during the last hearing on these. Got some clarification from our clients. Since the treatment was rendered in Missouri, it looks like the payment and reconsiderations were paid under Missouri fee schedule. So I'm happy to just relay that change and the justification for the same. I'd also mention a Paradigm Network is contractually on this one, handling the medical benefits as well. And so once we hop off the line, I believe Ozark's rep's also on the line, Nancy, I can get the email address for Paradigm's kind of account manager over to her as well. And that should help resolve any future issues that may arise.
Thank you.
I'd like to comment on that. Missouri does not have a workers' compensation fee schedule, and we are not contracted with Paradigm either.
Oh, yeah, Paradigm is contracted with National Interstate. Sorry, I should have clarified that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
All right. But thank you, Nancy. That definitely provides some clarification for our folks, and I'll get you that information when we hop off.
We still need to go ahead and rule on all three of these or make recommendations in all three of these cases.
Right. So the recommendation that we have right now is the additional due $358.72 less any contractual discounts. Okay, so that's the recommendation. Do I have a motion to accept?
It's Leanne. Move we accept the recommendation.
Okay, do we have a second?
This is Jennifer. I second.
Any more discussion?
Okay. Mary, just asking to clarify that dollar amount one more time.
$358.72.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Okay. That motion carries. So case 42. Bob, is the next one that
date of service? It's again Ozark Anesthesia versus Van Liner Paradigm. Date of service is 4/30/24. Additional amount due of $358.72. It was the same same issue, same amount.
Okay. All right, same issue, same amount. Additional $358.72. Do we have a motion to accept the recommendation?
This is Jennifer. I motion to accept.
Okay, do we have a second?
It's Leanne. I'll second.
Okay. Any more discussion? Okay. All in favor? Oops. Was there any more discussion? Somebody just taking a deep breath. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay. That motion carries. Okay. Case 43.
Case 43 is Ozark Anesthesia versus Paradigm. Billed amount was $1,365. Paid was $729.56. Expected was $975. The analysis, this was a date of service of 5/4. So recommendation was an additional due of $245.44.
Less any contractual discounts.
Okay. Correct.
All right, so do we have a motion to accept the recommendation, additional due to the provider, $245.44, less any contractual discounts?
It's Leanne. I move we accept the recommendation.
Okay, do we have a second?
This is Roy.
Okay. All right, any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay, any opposed? Okay, that recommendation passes. So we have case 59. Looks like it's deferred, Bob.
Well, there's been some action since I sent this out. It turns out that the attorney did not receive the analysis that the physician had provided. And when I got with the assistant and we got that over to them again, it looks like they're going to take it and resolve it outside of a deposition. So hopefully that case will be closed.
Great. Okay. 60 St. Francis versus Hartford.
This is one that Christina gave a report on.
Yes. This provider is requesting an additional allowance, stating they were underpaid by Coventry. And they had appealed with no additional allowance. This was a two-day inpatient hospital stay for a patient that had a posterior spinal fusion. I was not provided with the implant invoices or logs, but I took into consideration what the Hartford paid initially for the implants, which was $20,535.64. When I put my numbers into my spreadsheet for a two-day surgical per diem, that was $4,694. The implants that were reimbursed, again, were $20,535.64. Stop loss allowance on this bill was $84,860.80. So total amount owed to the provider is $110,090.44. So they were reimbursed $110,599.40. So I'm recommending nothing additional to the provider.
Okay. So the stop loss plus the implant is what you're totaling, and then you're saying that this amount is sufficient, so no additional.
Yes, they were overpaid. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So do we have a motion for no to that the recommendation that no additional is due?
It's Leanne. I'll recommend we accept the I will move that we accept the recommendation.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. You have a second?
This is Jennifer. I second.
Is there any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. That motion carries. Number 66.
This is Spears Prosthetics versus AIG Gallagher Bassett, unpaid for refurbishing a below elbow prosthesis. Billed amount was $4,008.15. Nothing was paid. Expected amount was $3,465.66. The adjuster and bill review company had not communicated about a reconsideration. The committee recommends further direct communication with the provider to resolve the billing issue before the committee will further assess this dispute. And that case has been closed. So there was further discussion between the two, and they resolved it. So the next case then is case 68. Which has been deferred. Until the next meeting. Case 69, Dr. Hazelwood versus Crum and Forrester, where Z code was not paid. The paid amount was $141.87. The expected amount was $181.87. So the analysis on this case was that the date of service was before any advisory letters went out to any of the bill review companies. So an additional due of $40 less any contractual discounts.
Okay. Motion to accept the recommendations to additional payment due of $40 less contractual discounts.
This is Jennifer. I accept.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Recommendation passes. Okay. Number 70, case 70.
This is Dr. Hazelwood versus Sedgwick, where a code, code was 95886 was not paid. The billed amount was $725. The paid amount was $392.02. Expected was $548.76. This was the analysis on this case was a brachial plexus and upper extremity EMG that did include five or more muscles studied. So not only was it the brachial plexus evaluation, but also more than five muscles So the addition was due the provider of $156.74, less any contractual discounts.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the recommendation?
It's the other movie. Oh, you go ahead, Jennifer.
Oh, sorry. This is Jennifer. I'm going to have to recuse myself off of the Sedgwick ones that are coming up.
Okay.
Okay. So Leanne will move that we accept the recommendation.
Okay. Do we have a second?
A second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay. That motion carries. Number 72.
That was 70. It's 71.
So I'm sorry, 71. Excuse me. Yeah, 71.
Yeah. So this was office visit and Z code were denied for $162. Expected was $137.33. The reason that the office visit was denied is because the code was changed to the 20816 code, which is a surgery code, and it was then analyzed within the global period. So the provider is due the expected amount, $137.33. So the discount had already been applied to this account. So the provider is due the $137.33.
Okay. So the recommendation for the additional $137.33, discount already applied. To have a motion to accept.
So moved. This is Will.
And second?
I'll second, Leanne.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Okay. So 71 recommendation carries. 72.
Office visit and Z code denied. Billed for $202. Interestingly, for some reason, they did pay $37.20 on this account, but what was expected was $189.29. The date of service, again, was before these letters had gone out, so the recommendation is additional due provider of $149.29, less any contractual discounts.
We have a motion to accept the recommendation for the additional due of $149.29, less any contractual discounts.
Roy, go ahead.
Okay. So Roy moved. All right. Leanne, is that a second?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. All right. Any discussion? All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Next 73, Baptist Memphis versus Sedgwick.
This was codes were not properly paid for an echocardiology study. It was done by the hospital. The billed amount was $4,612.75. The paid amount was $739.99. Expected amount was $1,144.32, and Christina did a report on this one.
Yes. So it appears that the price that they were paid was the provider's PPO contract. So they were looking for the full amount, and so with my calculations for the echo, they are allowed $1,144.32, and so the amount due to the provider minus any contractual obligations is
$404.33. Okay. All right. So recommendation for additional due, $404.33, less any contractual discounts. We have a motion to accept.
It's Leanne. I move we accept the recommendation.
Okay. Second. Do we have a second to accept the recommendation?
A second.
Okay. All right. Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. Number 74.
Tennessee Occupational Medicine versus Eastern Alliance. The modifier was not paid. The billed amount was $192.26. The paid amount was $182. Expected amount was $192.26. The insurance company did not recognize the correct OP modifier for this physician. So additional due the provider of $16.66 that has the PPO discount had already been applied.
Okay. Recommendation to do the provider $16.66 after PPO discount because it's already been applied. Okay. So do we have a motion to accept?
This is Jennifer. I accept.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second. This is Will.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Case 75.
Tennessee Occupational Medicine versus Liberty Mutual, where a modifier was not properly paid. Billed amount was $360.92. Nothing had been paid. The medical fee schedule was $360.92. The analysis on this one, it was denied because it was not related to the that the office visit was not related to the claim, but the office visit actually for causation and to the extent of the injury. And even though it was later judged to be not related, the visit is still payable. So since it was authorized by the insurance company for the purpose of evaluating a claim, the amount is due even if the insurer later denies the claim. So recommendation is due the provider of $360.92 less any contractual discounts.
Do we have a motion to accept the recommendation?
I move we accept. It's Will.
Second.
This is Jennifer. I second.
Okay. Any discussion? Right. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay, that carries. Number 76.
Tennessee Occupational Medicine versus Liberty Mutual. Code for the same day of service for an EKG was denied because it was not related to the claim. This actually was an evaluation of a claim that did require an evaluation for cardiac issues. And even though it was later judged not related, the visit, which was authorized by the insurer, is due to be paid. So due the provider of $55 less any contractual discounts.
Okay. Do you have a motion to accept the recommendation?
So moved. It's Will.
Okay. Do you have a second?
It's Leanna. Second it.
Okay. Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. That recommendation carries. Number 77.
This was a DME that was denied for the same date of service. So the billed amount was $294.44. The paid amount was $135.34. Expected was $294.44. The walking boot and the DME and special mold were improperly denied as bundled with the office visit service. So an additional due the provider of $159.10 less any contractual discounts.
Okay. Motion to accept the recommendation.
Leanne, will we accept the recommendation?
We have a second.
This is Jennifer. I second.
Okay. Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that recommendation carries. Number 78.
78 was paid and closed.
Okay. Number 79.
Tennessee Occupational Medicine versus Gallagher Bassett. They downcoded an office visit. Billed $298.13, paid $182.02. Expected was $298.13. medical fee schedule is actually $182. Even though analyzing this one, even though the review of systems was extensive, the decision-making process was limited, and so the recommendation was no additional due.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the recommendation that no additional is due?
This is Jennifer. I accept.
Okay. Do we have a second?
This is Roy. Second.
Okay. All right. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Okay, that carries. Number 80.
Dr. Hazelwood versus Sedgwick, where a Z code was not recognized and it was changed to the surgery code and denied because it was a global. This again was a date of service. The 5/8/25, the letters actually went out in late May. So they had not changed their system yet. Expected was $140.08. So that's what's due the provider, $140.08 less any contractual discounts.
Okay. And Jennifer, I assume you want to recuse yourself on this one?
Yes, also? Ma'am.
Okay. All right. So do we have a motion to accept the recommendation?
It's Leanne. I move we accept the recommendation.
Okay. Do we have a second?
This is Roy.
Okay. Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
All right. Any opposed?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. 81.
Cases 81 and 82 have been deferred.
Okay. 83.
Which takes us to case 83, PCS Knoxville versus Gallagher Bassett. These were codes for spinal injection, billed $12,283. Nothing was paid. The analysis on this case, this first case was the date of service was 5/22. The insurer kept denying the bill because they said they had not received the proper documentation. They had been notified at least three times. And so Christina did a report on this one.
Yes, this was for a two-level transforaminal injection to the back. Image guidance is included in the 64483 code. There aren't any fee schedule guidelines that state that the provider must submit images with this procedure. The procedure note has been provided and supports the codes that were billed. The first level should reimburse. The second level is an add-on code for an ambulatory surgery center, and they do not reimburse. So the amount allowed by the fee schedule is $1,335.44. They were reimbursed nothing. So due to the provider, less any contractual obligations is $1,335.44.
All right. Do we have a motion to accept that recommendation?
This is Jennifer. I motion to accept.
We have a second.
It's Leanne. A second.
Any discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. That recommendation carries. Number case 84.
PCS Knoxville versus Gallagher Bassett, where codes were not paid, billed $11,332. The same issue. These bills were actually submitted originally to the Department of Commerce and Insurance because they could not get a response from Gallagher Bassett. They were then referred over to us, which is how these two came to our attention. On this particular case, again, it was very similar to the case that Christina reviewed. This date of service was 3/28/24. They required a correction of the EOB, which I received, and the same analysis holds true. The 64483 code is reimbursable. The 64484 code is not. If you'll notice, there's a typo in the summary. I apologize for that. And so the recommended is due the provider $1,302.68 less any contractual discount.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the recommendation?
It's Leanne. I move we accept it.
Do we have a second?
This is Roy. I second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Wow. So
take a deep breath, everybody.
Thank you, all the work that y'all did to make these so clear. And Christina, thank you for your work. And thank you to all of our committee who that was a lot to set through. So thank you, and all of everybody, our interested parties as well. Okay, so I think our next thing on our agenda is, let me just get that back up, issues with Z codes.
So we have not had any recent submissions that have to the Z code violations. So I'm hopeful that the letters we sent out in May have corrected most of these. I think occasionally we may get one of these from a smaller insurance company or a smaller bill review company, but the five letters we sent out seem to have made a difference. So I'm hopeful that those will start to go away.
Good work. That's been a good letter too. Okay. Next thing is new business, the WCRI high cost claims and AI.
The only other thing was the medical fee schedule update.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bob. Excuse me. I skipped right over that.
So Amanda just checked with the Attorney General's office. 18 and 19 have been cleared by the Attorney General, but we're waiting on the final clearance of Rule 17, which has to do with the rules for medical payments. And so once that clears, then it will be posted on the Secretary of State's website, and we will be notifying everybody on our announcements page for that when those are posted.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Now, WCRI high cost claims and AI.
So WCRI has issued two reports, one in August and one, actually they were both in August. The first one had to do with high claims that were limited to the back and shoulder. The back claims were neurologic, disc involvement, degenerative, or soft tissue, and the shoulder were rotator cuff, frozen shoulder, and arthritis. A lot of these claims would, in fact, overlap with each other, so they did have some difficulty in analyzing them. But for the four back groups, the cost of the claims was about $120,000 in medical expenses and twice the number of temporary disability weeks from the average back claim. So obviously, when you get into these high cost claims, they are really high cost. Interestingly enough, for these five back claims, 90% of them had comorbidities that affected the outcomes. Obesity, alternate pain syndromes, mental health issues, and sleep disorders accounted for the comorbidities that created this group of high cost claims. For the shoulders, pre-existing arthritis and older age led to higher costs. And interestingly enough, these claims also had higher late resource utilization, which means that there was a lot of expenses later on in the claim and not related to the first couple years. And there were multiple providers and multiple interventions in these codes as well. The question is whether or not these high cost claims, if there's a causation between the comorbidities and the higher cost claims, they were unable to differentiate that. And also high cost claims the ones that had surgery were 8 times more likely to lead to high costs. So there is a direct association between not only comorbidities, but surgeries in creating the high cost claims. Now, some of this you would think would be common sense. That is, comorbidities does increase the risks of other conditions, and also surgery increase the risks of later conditions and also complications due to comorbidities. So it was kind of an interesting association, but not clearly that one could separate predictive, using this as predictive value in what to expect with back claims or shoulder claims.
So Bob, is another thought on that, right? The more severe the back injury, the more expensive the claim. If they're surgical and they're hospitalized.
Well, that would seem to be make common sense.
Right.
Knowing what we know about disc disease and degenerative disease, both the back and the shoulder and the rotator cuff of the shoulder, sometimes just the diagnosis itself or the severity of the diagnosis does not lead to a high cost claim.
Okay. Gotcha.
I think that you could infer that by common sense, but I don't think that the data would actually support making that conclusion.
Okay. So any hints in there?
Well, I think that providers and insurers should be very careful about recommending surgery in conditions where there's degenerative disease.
And can one ask for second opinions, and who could ask in cases where surgery is recommended by a provider?
The insurer always has the ability to ask for a second opinion.
And the patient?
The patient can. The patient may request, if it just has to do with surgery. The patient does have a right to a second opinion due to a court case that included both the diagnosis and surgery. So if the diagnosis and the recommended surgery is in question, then the patient has the right to that second opinion, and the insurer could not deny it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other questions, really? I'm sorry.
The second one was AI. Mm-hmm. They had some very interesting observations about AI. I think that to a lot of extent we've heard this before. So in workers' compensation, it is anticipated that AI would reduce the administrative burden by being able to fast and consistently process structured as well as unstructured data, that it could automate routine tasks, and that it would have predictive potential for outcomes and early interventions. It could reduce, enhance speed, consistency, and accuracy of communications, and prevent accidents with data and loss of correspondence, and then finally improve personalized care and transparency. I think all of these are a wish list at the present time, but I think it's been anticipated that some of these will become already being used in workers' compensation. AI can be also used to create summaries and new content based upon patterns in the past, including drafting communications, generating ideas about projects and situations, acting as a personal assistant, interpreting and summarizing documents, tutoring and educational assistance, and then finally creating conversations and other media to be used in educational purposes in workers' compensation. So all in all, it was just a summary report, but it has potential in workers' comp as it has in other areas.
Yeah, absolutely. AI's hitting us everywhere, isn't it? So
yes.
Workers' comp cannot be spared. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
WCRI sent another report that just essentially it was their medical payment review. The only two states in the Southeast that are part of WCRI are North Carolina and Florida, both of which saw no significant increase in medical payments that were noteworthy in both jurisdictions.
Thank you for that update. Okay, the Advisory Council on Workers' Compensation, the report.
Troy, can you comment on what the anticipated reduction in premium is for next year?
Yes, I'd be glad to. Dr. Snyder and I attended the Advisory Council on Workers' Compensation meeting. It was back September the 24th, I believe, down in the Cornell Hall Legislative Building. It was a good turnout. It looked like everybody on the council was there, which is good to see the interest by the council members and the business of the council. They heard two presentations, one from NCCI and one from the advisory council's statistical data consultant. Just Elevate Consulting. The NCCI presentation recommended, after review of all of the numbers and data, a -2% decrease for 2026 in the voluntary loss cost market. And there is another meeting that would be 12 straight years, which is important. Of loss cost decreases since the 2014 reforms went into effect. It's a small decrease, unlike the double-digit decreases that we've seen in years past. It slowed down a little bit, but it appears from the testimony there from NCCI that the market is in good shape, workers' compensation is in good shape, and we don't see any issues on the horizon. The main takeaways I had, Dr. Snyder may have additional takeaways, but nationwide and in Tennessee, workers' compensation claims are down, but severity is up. And that seems to be not only here in Tennessee, but nationwide as well. The council will meet again, I believe it's on November the 5th. At the Cordell Hall Building to hear the actuary presentations. The Department of Commerce and Insurance actuary will be there to present along with the council's actuary. That'll be an exciting presentation, I'm sure, that everybody will look forward to. And we'll see what the council then, after they hear those two presentations, will then make a recommendation for the 2026 loss cost. For next year, and it looks like it'll be around 2% decrease. So, Dr. Snyder, did you have anything more that you took away from those, from that meeting?
No, nothing to add.
Thanks everybody for participating.
Does anyone have any other questions or concerns for Troy or Bob? Okay. All right. Well, I think we're at the end of our time just about. We have a couple of announcements. Right. Our next meeting is Tuesday, December the 9th, 2025, last one of the year. And then the meeting after that, for those who want to plan up, is Tuesday, February 17th, 2026. So same time, 1 p.m., I take it. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Wow. Well, everybody sure put in their work today and earned all those hard brownie points. We can't say dollars, but brownie points. So thank y'all too, and again, in the department for all the work that you do. That's amazing. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
It's Leanne. I moved. We're all eager to do that. I'll second it.
Okay. Is there anybody opposed here? All
no.
Right. Okay. So again, thanks everybody, and we'll see y'all around Christmas time. So, or holiday yes. time.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Bye, everyone. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.